are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Thursday episode here on Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. And for today's episode, we welcome in on the show Dartmouth offensive lineman Zach Sammartino, 2019 first team All-Ivy League, All New England team as well, which includes both FCS and FBS players. 6'4", 315 right guard. Yes, he's an Ivy League guy. He's smart, but don't be mistaken, he's a savage out on that field too. Follow on Twitter at ZSammartino. That's with two M's, one. Zach, thank you so much for coming through, homie. So good to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, man.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, man, I got to ask you the question that is most important. That's on everybody's mind. How are you doing? How's the family? Everybody doing all right? You keeping those hands clean?
Yeah, we're all doing well. We've been quarantined for a couple of weeks now, just hanging out.
Yeah, man, that's pretty much it, too. We'll get to some quarantine activities in a little bit. But first of all, I want to start off with just a little bit about you, man. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about you? You're from Pittsburgh, right?
Correct.
Or the Pittsburgh area. I got a friend of mine that's from Beaver, and so she'll say I'm from Pittsburgh, but she don't really mean she's from Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Pittsburgh's a big area. It's within an hour of the city, you're from Pittsburgh.
Gotcha. So what is it that brought you, like, what was it for you? So when did you fall in love with football? What brought you from Pittsburgh over to Dartmouth as well? Like, how'd this all work out for you?
Yeah, so I actually didn't start playing football until about ninth grade. I actually played a lot of basketball and soccer before that. Mm-hmm. And then one day I just realized, like, I'm way too big for this. I really wanted to play a sport in college. And being 6'4" and 230 pounds at the time or so, basketball was going to be my future. I was too short and too big. And my dad and uncle both played football. We had season start tickets my whole life. So I've been a huge football fan. And I actually wanted to play football in elementary school. My parents wouldn't let me. They said in seventh grade I could. Uh-huh. And I actually didn't jump on it until ninth grade. And so ninth grade was my first year of play, and I was pretty bad. I was just learning the game. I didn't really understand anything yet.
Right.
And so my freshman, sophomore year, I kind of started learning, figured out by my junior year, and then got my first offer to a D1 school the Friday before the first game of my senior year. And that ended up being Dartmouth. And then throughout that year, I played really well. I had about 15 or 16 D1 offers, both FCS and FBS. Mm-hmm. And the final schools I kind of came down to were Dartmouth and Cornell in the Ivy League, James Madison, and then a couple MAC schools in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And I knew at that point, like, NFL was always a dream of mine. And so it was hard for me to kind of not pick an FBS school. But my parents are also both teachers, and they pushed the academic part.
Right.
And they're like, FCS, there's NFL players every year from there. If you're good enough, we'll find you. And if you're not good enough, you have an Ivy League degree. So it's kind of the best of both worlds for that. Mm-hmm. And eventually they kind of won out, and I have no regrets with it. I love Dartmouth. I love their coaching staff. I had a phenomenal 5 years up there. So I loved every second of my time there. It's a great place.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about this. So look, you're here, you're on a Saints podcast. Saints fans love small school, quote unquote, FCS school guys. Super fun. And there's nothing but positivity around that sigma here in New Orleans. But what is it that you say to answer any questions about level of competition, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we're not playing in Power 5, SEC-type football. I get that. But at the same time, I don't think the film-wise, it's still a high level of football. And when you look at FCS schools in general, of all the conferences, so you have, like, the MVC, which is supposedly thought to be the best FCS conference, with, like, North Dakota State and those guys. Mm-hmm. But when you look at total NFL players are from FCS schools, the Ivy League actually has the most NFL players of any conference. And mm-hmm. we also have the fewest teams of any conference except the Patriot League. So we have the highest amount of NFL players per team in any FCS conference. And I think you kind of see that on film. There's a lot of good athletes out there. There's a lot of guys with big time FBS or Power 5 offers like I had too, that value education as well. And so they want to get the best of both worlds with that. So yeah. I think even though I believe FCS labeled, I think we're a lot better than most other FCS schools. And then in my 5 years at Dartmouth, we played 15 non-conference games. We went 15-0 in those.
Nice.
So I think it kind of shows that the Ivy League's another level overall.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with that too, particularly the Ivy League and stuff. And of course, like I mentioned, like when it comes to Saints fans, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you put that tape out there, people are going to find you and people are going to fall in love with the idea of getting a top prospect, regardless of what level they're coming from, onto their favorite team. So you had talked a little bit too about what you're seeing on film and what's coming out of these conferences. Now, I got your film, 8 minutes of just absolute ruthlessness, so fun to watch, and I appreciate all of that. And I observed the same type of tenacity in a former teammate of yours, Matt Caskey, who I really liked last year. Do y'all still keep in touch?
Yeah, for sure. He's one of my best friends.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, so he's playing within the NFC South now. He's playing with the Carolina Panthers. And something I observed in both of y'all was sort of this calm and friendly demeanor off the field, but then on the field, it's just kind of this no-mercy approach. Is that something that is a bit of a Dartmouth thing, or was that just something that you guys had in common that you can just flip that switch?
I remember talking to my dad. He's like, you got to learn how to flip the switch. You got to be able to be the nicest guy in the world off the field. And on the field, you have to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that took me years to figure out. I probably didn't really figure that out until the end of my junior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think it bodes really well for me now. But no, I mean, you have to be a good guy off the field as well. And so I think a lot of Dartmouth guys are in that same boat. I know my head coach at Dartmouth, actually, when I was getting recruited, came to my school for about an hour and a half during my senior year. And it was the first time I met him. I already had an offer from them. And we talked for sure an hour and a half in the football office, and he actually didn't talk about football at all. Our head coach was really concerned about like your family, your life, and just making sure you're the best men off the field.
Right. That's so important, because that interview process, whether it be the interview process in terms of the way that we think about it on the national level, which is actually having a camera put in your face and then having to answer questions, but also the interview process of getting to know teams, meeting players, meeting scouts, that is such a huge part of getting into the NFL beyond just what you do on the field.
Yeah, of course, of course.
If you've been a listener of this podcast, then I'm sure that you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you might not know that Locked On Saints is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Saints fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the ability to reach local podcast listeners, but not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. So if your company wants to connect with Saints fans and a predominantly male audience that's well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Did you play any other different positions? So when you started in ninth grade, when you started playing football, did you always play on the offensive line, or did you have other positions that you played at the beginning?
So all throughout high school, I played both ways, offense and defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had probably a similar amount of offers for defensive line as it was offensive line.
Nice.
Which, looking at my high school tape, you can't fathom how that happened. I guess guys saw me as a guy that they would hope would be a 6'4", 315-pound run stopper in a three down front, basically just playing nose. But I was pretty bad at defensive line throughout high school, honestly. So whenever I had offers, I'll see about where I wanted to go. It was a no-brainer for me that I wanted to play O-line in college and not the D-line.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but still having that experience and playing on the defensive line, does that still benefit you from the offensive side?
Honestly, I don't think so. Back from high school, everything is pretty simple. I think what benefited me the most is my offensive line coach up at Dartmouth. Whenever I came into Dartmouth, I thought I understood football and everything, but the levels of just reading defenses he taught us was unbelievable. We all honestly, as the offensive linemen, know just as much, if not more, than our quarterbacks, I feel like, at the time. We're making all the calls. He's talking about like reading the safeties, the coverages, just every little shade everywhere they're on the field, if the safety's on the hash, off the hash. And I think my offensive line coach taught us a lot more about defenses than I've ever learned anywhere else.
Nice. That's so great, because actually the next question that I had was just about, when I watch your tape, when I watch your film, I see these defensive linemen trying stunts, trying twists, things like that, but nothing ever seems to take you by surprise. You do a really good job of just having an understanding. You're always complimented on your football IQ. Is that approach from your offensive line coach one of the things that's helped you remain so collected out on the field?
Yeah, for sure. We So I actually redshirted my sophomore year. I had a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. And so that year I didn't play at all. I was just in the film room with the guys every day watching burning. And that gave me a lot of time to kind of understand and master the offense. Mm-hmm. And I think that year benefited me a lot. I learned a lot. And then Kasky, you were talking about, our coach said, was one of the best guys he ever had at reading defense, and one of the smartest football players he's ever had. And so my senior year, which is also his senior year, I think he taught me a lot more with that. And then whenever I was a fifth year this past year, it was kind of my turn to pass it on to the younger guys. So yeah, I thank my offensive line coach a lot for that, and even Kasky to an extent.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And especially to have that type of responsibility to pass it down to the next sort of generation that's coming up after you and everything, and getting the opportunity to do that. They always say too, that when you teach, it just reinforces what you already know too. So even that part is helpful. Are there are there any defensive linemen that you look at in the NFL that you would really, really just be excited to match up with?
Honestly, any of them at this point. I'm coming from a smaller school. I just can't wait to get my shot against whoever's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let me ask you this one then, just in terms about memories and things like that. So Saints fans right now are gearing up for a pretty exciting night. They're doing a re-air of the Return to the Dome game. So this is one of the sort of most important and pivotal games in New Orleans Saints history. So a lot of our favorite memories might come from this game. What are some favorite memories that you have from your time at Dartmouth?
Yeah, so my true senior year, we were 8-0. We were playing Princeton, who was 8-0 at the time. We were both top 10 teams, and we were playing in their place, and we ended up losing that game 14-9. We had a ton of blown opportunities. That's a game that's going to haunt me forever. But that game actually kind of propelled us the following year. My fifth year, we were playing Princeton again, and we were at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. And again, we were both 8-0 going into the game, and top 10 teams for the second year in a row. And I think that memory, even though I was the only returning starter on the offensive line, all the other positions were back. I think that memory from losing that game the year before to Princeton really helped us all out. And we ended up coming out that game just dominant and beat them 27-10. Nice. Kind of people call it a minor upset, but it was a lot of fun, that one game. You know, we played in Yankee Stadium in front of 20, 30,000 people.
Yeah, so for real.
That was a great experience all around. We got to do a tour of Yankee Stadium, all the facilities. My junior year, we also got to play in Fenway Stadium as well. So there were a lot of cool opportunities with that.
That's got to be one of those things to where, like, when you look back at where you were before you started playing football 9 years, you know, when you were in the ninth grade, it's where you kind of go, like, never would have expected being in that position, right?
Right. I just never thought stepping into the most famous MLB ballparks in the country. It was wild.
Yeah, absolutely. And then getting to play football there too, on top of that, right? So like, even just the specificity of being able to do that is pretty dope. All right, so this one's got a little bit of a long setup, but I'm really curious about your answer for this one, because you know, the Saints in particular are going through a little bit of a transition. This is the last year with Drew Brees, who's a little bit more, potentially the last year with Drew Brees, who's more of a like pocket passer, meticulous guy, game manipulator, which would pair really well with your outstanding work in pass protection. But in the wings, Taysom Hill waits to be deployed, super mobile, high escapability, somebody that, essentially it's a completely different offense when he's on the field. So with that, and with the idea too that the NFL is really pushing towards, or you're seeing more of these mobile quarterbacks succeed in the NFL, you seem to have a fit with either type of quarterback in that way. Because you also, on top of having that, really outstanding work in pass protection and creating a pocket and working with all that, you've also had the highest relative athletic score of any interior offensive lineman in this year's draft class, not just in the FCS, of this year's draft class. So help me out from your perspective. How do these two styles, or the differing styles of quarterback in the NFL, affect how you do your job?
Yeah, so I think for me, I'm coming from a rare situation, pretty much from any other school in the country, where we actually had a two quarterback system my last 2 years for the most part. We mm-hmm. had a 6'4", 245-pound quarterback who could throw a little bit, but he was a big-time running guy. He's actually going to be playing tight end probably for a team next year in the mm-hmm. NFL. And then whenever we also had another quarterback who was a precision passer, the kid that led the FCS in completion percentages last season. And so we would have these two guys just change in and out in the middle of series even. And so I think there was a lot of experience just with understanding the different quarterback we already had back there. So coming from that, I had a lot of experience blocking for both the pocket passer as well as the quarterback who can run, make plays with his legs on his own. So I think coming from that skill set for me, it kind of helps me with that already.
I think a lot of Saints fans just fell a little bit in love, man, because that's like the perfect answer in terms of the translation of what this particular team is going through, as well as just what's going on around the NFL, period. So when it comes down to blocking for that precision pocket passer and then also getting in front of that mobile passer and that mobile quarterback, do you have a preference in between the two, or do you just like going out there and doing the job?
No, there wasn't really any preference. I mean, honestly, it didn't change that much. You still do your job, whether you call it a run or pass play. So At the end of the day, there weren't very many times that I was having to be like, oh, crap, we got this quarterback. I have to do this differently. But at the end of the day, if you do your job on the correct play, it works well. And I mean, there were a couple times where the quarterback would extend the play or running guy would extend the play where you had to play for 8, 10, 12 seconds at a time if he's running around in the pocket or running around all throughout the backfield. But you just got to keep playing until the whistle at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. So what brings you the sort of the most joy on the football field? Is it, you know, springing a running back? Is it holding those blocks for 8 to 10 seconds? Is it laying a guy down? Like, do you have a certain thing that just really fills you with, this is why I'm here when you're out on the field?
Yeah, I mean, aside from winning, whenever you get to move a guy from point A to point B and put him on his back there to play, there's not much better feeling than that.
No, absolutely not, man. That's great. That's awesome. All right, so let's get into a little bit more just sort of personal little things too. We're all in a bit of an unprecedented point right now. As you mentioned, you've been sort of under lockdown and everything for the last couple of weeks. This pre-draft process has been really specific and has been largely affected by all of this. What have you been doing to stay on the list of teams, on teams' lists? What have you been doing to put out material to let everybody know, hey, here's who I am and here's what I have to bring?
Yeah, I mean, I've had some calls with teams already. I got to go down to the College Gridiron Showcase down in Texas in January. So I think that was a big boost for me. I got to go in front of about 160 scouts, got to have a bunch of interviews with teams down there. And so I think that helped me put me on the radar even more. So I actually got to talk with some guys, got to put a name to the face. And on top of that, now, I mean, pro days and stuff are all done. We got ours virtually done. And now I'm just working out with what I have. We have some bands. My buddy has a little gym with some dumbbells and a small barbell in his backyard. So I've been going over there most days in the week. So just doing what I can with what I have right now. I'm just kind of getting some stuff out on Twitter. Just keeping my name out there, really.
Yeah, man. Just keep up the grind, dude. Just keep up the grind. That's great to hear. So what about outside of the workouts? What else have you been doing to sort of entertain yourself in the midst of all this this lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, my family and I, we've just been playing a lot of games. My dad and I started playing a lot of darts lately. We bought some new games, so just hanging out doing that stuff. My dad and I have done some yard work recently and just kind of getting the house ready for spring, I guess.
Love that. Are you more of a, or the way that you're doing this, is it more of like video game or is it like board game type of approach or even card game?
I'd say a little bit of both, or a little bit of all three, honestly. We were playing some gin rummy last night.
Love it.
We played Monopoly a couple of nights before. Played some video games recently, so I've done a little bit of all three, just trying to keep myself sane stuck in the house all these hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Any series or anything like that you're binging on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm a big Ozark fan, so just finished that up the other day. Trying to find a new series to get into right now, actually.
Have you done Tiger King yet?
I have. We did that in a day or two.
All right, tell me what you think, man, because that was wild to me.
Yeah, that was I don't really even have an opinion on that. That's like just some crazy stuff. I didn't even think stuff like that exists in this world.
Right.
Like in America. So just a wild part you've never seen about, really. No one's ever seen in this country, really.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, it's just such a crazy thing to imagine that there's just like this this expansive network that most of us have literally never heard of until Netflix was like, you know what? We're going to talk about it. We're going to produce a short series on it. That was just the craziest stuff I had ever seen. That was wild. I'm glad that you've gotten to see that.
Yeah, it was a good one for sure.
What about right now in terms of, I always love to ask about music. I love to ask about, you know, what's keeping people entertained and everything. But whether it be with the workouts or anything like that, just kind of what's the favorite album that you're digging into right now?
I don't know if I really have a favorite. I kind of listen to everything. If I'm working out, I'll listen to rap. Generally, being around football for that long, it's kind of what I've gravitated towards. But, I mean, I'll listen to literally everything. I can do country in the car. I can do rock too. So just kind of whatever I'm feeling at the time.
Love it. And then, so have you done any kind of, have you had any type of Creole cuisine at all? Any gumbo, jambalaya, anything like that?
I have a little bit, not a ton in my life.
What's kind of been the one that you've had so far, or the one that you've enjoyed that you have had so far?
Kid and a team from New Orleans made some sort of gumbo up at school this past year. That was pretty good. I'm not really sure what was in it, but it was really good.
That's all right. That's the right way to approach gumbo is just not know much about it. Just know it's gumbo and eat it and enjoy it. That's really the experience right there.
Exactly.
All right, man. My final question for you. I just want to know, we've talked about a lot of different qualities that you brought in. There's a great Twitter thread out right now that's talking about, your highlights. It talks a little bit more in depth about your play style. We've talked about your IQ, your athleticism, the way that you work in pass sets as well. Is there anything about your game that you would like people to know more about that you feel like isn't being talked about as much?
I mean, I think my film speaks for myself with everything. I haven't allowed a single sack in my career in over 1,200 offensive snaps. And then in the run game, I think it's where I even thrive more, where I keep my feet driving. I mean, you can see in my film, there's 70, 80 pancakes there at least, and it's just constant. So I just think my mauler, just my attitude in general on the field really helps me out.
Absolutely, man. Hey, love all of the film. Love everything that you're doing, man. Can't wait to see and just be able to keep track of everything heading into this draft later on this month. And fingers crossed is best for your future, man, because you absolutely deserve it. Be putting in that work.
Thanks, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'll talk to you again soon is the hope and everything. And just keep me up to date with everything going on with you.
Will do. Have a good one.
All right, y'all, that is going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thank you so much for joining us, and a big thank you to Zach Sammartino once again, offensive lineman out of Dartmouth, for taking the time to join us today. Make sure you throw him a follow. Let him know you like the episode over at ZSammartino1. That's with two M's. Now that you've got your daily Saints download, make sure you tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NFL Draft. And some new news for you. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however it is that you get your podcast, to the Locked On NFL podcast as well, because starting tomorrow is the Locked On NFL mock draft, first round mock draft. So all of us got together, represented our teams, and then made selections through the first round. We had trades going on. We had steals going on. We had everything happening here. So make sure you check that out if you want to hear who we selected, as well as hear who other teams in the division selected, and get feedback from not only us as the local experts, but also from our national guys in Brian Peacock and former scout Matt Williamson. So ton of fun, and don't miss that. Again, that's on the Locked On NFL podcast. Make sure that you come back for tomorrow's episode. We'll get the sixth round of our prospect watch list that we've been building, one prospect per position of need. And of course, it's Facebook Friday. So we'll grab questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. If you want to participate in that, make sure you join at facebook.com/groups/Locked On Saints. All right, y'all. Thank you so much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe, drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.